Hello and welcome to the podcast today. Today we're going to be doing a behind the scenes of our last episode with Molly Bice Jackson, where we shared with her about her biological grandfather, some of his family, and shared that with Molly last week. Now, since then, there's been a really interesting update that I just found out about today. I'm recording this on Monday, the day before this podcast goes live. And just an interesting update that has provided some more information about Molly's biological great-grandmother. So if you listen to the episode or watch the episode with Molly, you know that she was interested in her biological great-grandmother's death because she died quite early. She said it affected her. She was told it affected her grandfather, Emmanuel, quite a lot, that he had a hard time talking about his mother. And there's been a super exciting update in the genealogy world that has allowed us to find her death certificate. So there's this organization called Reclaim the Records. It's fueled by genealogists and historians that work with state archives and other facilities that have records to help make those records public. Now, if you're a genealogist, you know that records in Maryland are quite hard to come by. You have to actually order them directly from them, pay money. You might even have to actually mail something out. And so it's not an easy process. But with the help of a genealogist, Michael McCormick, I think was his name, he took on this project to get the vital records from Maryland to be available for free online. And that just happened 2 days ago. And so today I spent time looking for Sophia's death record and I was able to find it. So I don't know, people working behind the scenes to make this happen. I really have felt in this whole process that Molly's ancestors, these biological ancestors of hers, want to be known by her. So I do feel like there is some angels at work in the background. So with all of that, it's not an easy to search database yet. You do have to find the index and then browse through the pages of documents in order to find the record. But I was able to find Sophia in these records, in these vital records, to find her death record. I did start to look for other records for the family, but because it's like you have to find them in the index and some of the dates that we have for them might not be right. Anyway, so might have to hire a genealogist, Molly, to do some more research here, but we'd be happy to help you out with that. Okay, so, but I was able to find Sophia Hirshhorn's death record. So this is Molly's biological grandfather's mother. Okay. So when Emmanuel, this is Molly's grandfather, Emmanuel, when he was 7 years old, his mother passed away. And some of Emmanuel's children and family members had just said that it was really hard for Emmanuel to talk about his mother. Like there just wasn't much known, or he didn't like to talk about it. You could tell that it was kind of a sore subject and was hard for him. And so she died when he was 7, and on her death record, it says that she died in Sykesville, Maryland, at the Springfield State Hospital. Okay. And her cause of death was tuberculosis of the lungs that she had for a little over 2 years. Now, then I looked into what this state hospital was. It was a hospital for the insane, a mental hospital. It was started in 1896. And at least from what I read, they had some of the most advanced mental health medicine and help that they had at the hospital. But she passed away there on September 22nd, 1927. So she was 36 years old. 11 months and 14 days old. So she was almost 37. She had two sons at home. So Leonard, he would have been 11. And then Emmanuel, Molly's grandfather, was 7. Now, it said that she was at this hospital for 5 months and 8 days. So she had been in the hospital for 5 months. I'm sure as a child for Emmanuel, that was very hard. He probably didn't quite understand what was going on. Now, she had tuberculosis of the lungs, which we now have vaccines for. But she, that the symptoms of tuberculosis were like coughing, sometimes coughing up blood, fever, and it was an infection of the lungs. So, not sure. Said that she had that for a little over 2 years. Not sure if that was the cause of her mental problems or not, or if that had to do with other things, or if one was secondary to the other. I'm not sure. But she passed away there at the age of 36, almost 37, and was there for 5 months. So as I think about that, how that might have affected her family, her husband in 1920, on the census, it says that he was a merchant. And then by 1930, he was a lawyer. So 3 years after his wife had died, he was now a lawyer, and he was married to a second wife. So I'm not sure when he began his law practice. It might have been before his wife was sick. We don't know. But just what the family dynamic was like when he had these two sons and their mother was in the hospital for 5 months and then passed away. I'm sure that was hard on these two boys and on the husband. So I think it's just interesting to be able to see that from one simple record, to kind of tell a bit more of that family story and a bit of the hardships that happened in that family just by one record. This is why I think it's interesting when people say, oh, my family tree is all done, the research's all been done. It's never done. Okay? Organizations like Reclaim the Records, they can help make these records available online. There's new records, millions of records being added to FamilySearch and Ancestry and other repositories every day. It's just so much more available to find these things. So if you are wanting to, you know, learn more about your ancestors, not just find their names, but to actually learn about like what their life was like, you can find these records and you can look at them. You can read the information that's on them and start asking those questions. Like, I wonder what that would have been like. Oh, he was only 7 years old when his mom died, and she was gone for 5 months before she passed away. How hard do you think that would have been for my grandfather? And now something for Molly to move forward with. I actually reached out. There are records for the hospital that because of privacy laws, they are not available publicly, but there was an email address to contact. So I reached out. They already got back to me and they said Molly or one of the descendants of Sophia would need to reach out to get those records. And so that is another step that Molly can take, or her biological cousins that she's met that can take, to get those records and maybe learn some more about Sophia and about her stay at the hospital before she passed away. This is just going to be a short episode because I feel like I just wanted to, number one, give that update, and number two, give hope that new records can be available any day. And so those records can give that information. So another thing on this record gives the name of Sophia's father, which was not known. So now that can be added to Molly's family tree, that can be added as Emmanuel's grandfather, that can then open up even more information, more records that can be found about those families. So if you have ancestors that there's a brick wall, things are just hard, you can't get that next step, that record might be available soon. And so just keep checking, keep trying, and hopefully you will find those clues that can help tell more of your ancestors' lives. Well, that's the episode for today. If you want to join my beta course, I don't think I've talked about it on the podcast yet. Maybe I have. I think I did last week. Anyways, it is starting January 16th. It's going to be 8 weeks, 12 live classes with Q&A. We are going to dive deep into one of your ancestors' lives. I'm going to show you just the same thing that I just did for Molly with her great-grandmother here, looking at her death record and just looking at all the little clues that are on that record to tell a fuller story of her life and her children's lives. So we're going to do that in an 8-week online course. We're going to meet on Zoom starting January 16th. The dates, currently I have it set for Tuesdays and Thursdays at 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, but I might change it to afternoon if enough would prefer that. So the dates are not totally set in stone, but the start week is the January 16th, okay? There will be time for looking for records if you don't have records about your ancestors. There's going to be a library of records, of videos, sorry, that will show you how to look for, say, a census record or a vital record for your ancestor. But if your tree is already pretty well researched, that will be great because most of, well, all of the live class time is going to be spent really learning how to look at records that you might already have and use the information from those records to tell their story, to look at what patterns there were, to look at what trauma might have happened in their lives, to look at how those things might have affected them, might have affected their children, and maybe you. So I'm really excited for this course. It's something that's been in the works for a very long time. I actually did a beta run of this course last year, but it was way too much information. I was doing it for like 4 generations and it was 7 months long. So I have whittled it down to an 8-week course really focused on telling the story of your ancestor and how their story relates to you. So if that sounds like something that you're interested in, the link will be in the show notes here, but it will be on my website. So you can go and check that out and knowyourancestors.co/beta-course. Should have chosen an easier URL for that, but that is what it is. I will probably put it right on my homepage for you to click there. But the link will be in the show notes here. So go and sign up for that if you would like. There are only 10 spots available for this course. So if you know that you want to sign up for it, do it as quick as you can so you don't miss out. All right, well, that is the episode for today. Thanks for listening. If you have enjoyed this podcast, please leave a rating and review on iTunes or share it on Instagram. Share it with people. That's really how this podcast grows. So I would really love it if you could share. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next time.